Hello?
Is that gonna...
There's a button.
Yeah?
What's it connected to?
No.
What's it connected to?
Testing. Assalamu alaikum. I want to welcome everyone and thank everyone so much for coming. Primarily, I would like to thank my old and good friend, Rabbi Eitan, at the very, very special kalach to be around the people, the Maror people. And I spoke at Channel Shittis today, and I publicly spoke about someone who I'm very close, and I have a lot of gratitude, and I praised him, and I publicly embarrassed him, and I lost my chelik in Olam Haba. So I want to praise somebody else who really made this whole event happen, and now I'm asking myself the halacha question: can you lose your Olam Haba twice? I lost it. So I don't know, I don't want to take a chance. So I will not publicly name this person, but there's a person who has done tremendous amounts of chesed for me, and he makes zero noise about it, about anything, and he's really, they say there's an old, he's a Lan Vovnik, he's a hidden tzaddik, but he's he really, if I had to make my list, he would definitely be at the top. So I want to thank him. And there's someone else also who also does a lot of chesed and stuck with so much. I'd also like to thank my very, very good, sweet, beloved friend, Rav Moshe Tzvi, who's going to share some words of the Divrei Torah with us.
I didn't know that Rav Ehrman was introducing me to speak. Can I introduce you now? Before I share just a few words of Torah, I want to also thank the many people who made this possible. I'd like to give a special thank you to the T-neck suit lady, who was a very generous sponsor of this evening's event. And anyone who still needs a suit for Yom Tov should definitely make it your business to get over there. Make an appointment online. I myself have an appointment tomorrow night, 9 p.m., if anyone wants to join me. It's a very special thing for Jews to get together, in particular this time of the year. It's obviously true all the time when Jews come together and sit together. And had it been just Rav Ehrman and Rav Eitan Dayenu, but I guess Kol HaMarbe LaSapar is a meshubach. Again, just to share a few ideas. There's a Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Gemara says, "Kol shelo amar emes ve'emuna arvis lo yatsa yidei chovasa." What's the source that if a person doesn't say emes ve'emuna at night in the tefillah of arvis, that a person hasn't fulfilled their obligation? Pasuk says, "Ve'emunas chavaleilos," that a person has to emuna, a person has to live with emuna baleilos. This is the halacha, it's paskin, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam paskin, the Soi. The question is, what's the secret a person has to say emes v'emuna? A person's namakasher, emes v'emuna. You can't connect emes to emuna You're not gonna make it through this inyan of Arabis. You haven't fulfilled this inyan of Laila, Munascha Balelos. Again, we only have a couple minutes, but I think we all understand that everything that a Jew does is a big deal. There's nothing that a Jew does in this world that's a small thing by the Ribbono Shel Olam. By us sometimes it seems small. But in Kadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, there's nothing that we do that's small. And that's why the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, don't try to put a price tag on mitzvos, because what you might think is small is very big in the eyes of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But I think we could also all agree that if there's one thing that's sort of the biggest thing of all, the thing that we have to review constantly, the first thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael when he spoke to us, after we waited a long time to come to Kabbalah Satorah, the thing that the Gemara in Maseches Makos says that if we had to, in some way, if we understand this Gemara carefully, but if in some way we had to shrink down all of the mitzvos and focus on a single point, it would be this thing. Chavakuk v'amidon al achas. Chavakuk came along and said it's this one thing. And that is v'tzadik b'emunaso yechya. Is that a Jew lives, Rachman al-Litzlan sometimes dies by his emunah. Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher yitzisicho eretz Mitzrayim. That's the whole avodah of these days, to get ourselves out of Mitzrayim and to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu who took us out of Mitzrayim. And I don't think I'm misspeaking by saying that that's the biggest thing. Of all the big things that a Jew has, and everything we do is big. But when a Jew serves a Kadosh Baruch Hu be'amuna, that's really the biggest thing of all. And that's why the Shabbos before Pesach, we have what's known as Shabbos HaGadol, the big Shabbos. The big Shabbos helps us to focus on the bigger things. Every Shabbos is an expression of our amuna, like countless Sfarim say. Pesach, we know in the Torah, is called Shabbos. We start counting Sfiras HaOmer, Mimachras HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos. Pesach is called Shabbos. Because Pesach and Shabbos share this inyan. That just like when we come to sit at the Pesach Seder, the whole avodah of the night is to instill, and to deepen, and to enrich, and to solidify our amunah for ourselves and our children. That's what every single Shabbos is. It's stopping to recognize that there's a creator to the world. And perhaps that's the secret that lies in the words of the Rambam, the seventh parak of Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, where the Rambam says, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zochor Es Hayom Hazeh Asher Yetzasim Mitzrayim, is just like Zochor Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. And countless pages have been written trying to explain why does the Rambam have to mention Shabbos? He's clearly making the point. There's a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why does he have to tie it in? Make a link, Zachar here, Zachar there, Zachar by Mitzrayim, Zachar by Shabbos. The answer is because Pesach is Shabbos. Pesach is one long, extended Shabbos. A person comes to the Leil Seder, and we sit with our family, parents and children, grandparents, great-grandparents of a person Zocha, and we try to solidify the absolute emes of our emunah. We try to solidify that everyone should know an imam and b'emunah shleima. It's absolutely true. There's no suffix at all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actively involved in our world. And again, what all the makos were expressing and showing and teaching. And Tel Amaisa, Ravolbi one time came to his Rebbe. Ravolbi was at this point already a distinguished mashkiach, a great leader. And he came to Rav Chatzkel Levinstein. He wanted to talk about a particular bacher, a certain young man in yeshiva who had all sorts of emunah issues. And they came and they spoke. And as Rav Shlomo Volbi was walking out of the room, all of a sudden Rav Chatzkel called out his name, and Rav Volbi turned around. And Rav Chatzkel asked Rav Volbi, he said, "Tell me, do you believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam?" Now, for Rav Volbi to be asked such a question at this stage of his life, it's a very uncomfortable and strange question. So he said, "Of course I believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rebbe, what are you asking?" And he started to walk out of the room again, and Rav Chatzkel called him again. And Rav Volbi turned down, Rav Chatzkel said to him, "So tell me, the Emes, do you really believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam? You really, really, really believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam?" So Rav Volbi said, I think I believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, yeah. Yes, I believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Rav Chatzkel said to him, "Good. So if you really believe in the Rabbanu Shlomo, then go and tell it to your Talmidim. Go tell that Talmud, who you're coming to me for advice, how should I deal with this Amun issue? Go tell him the truth. Go tell him that there's a creator to this world. Go say it. If you really mean it, so go say it like you mean it, and he'll know that you mean it. And he'll know it also. To be able to give over emuna, a person has to come to a personal hakara, a personal recognition of the emes of that emuna. Because how can I possibly try to convince someone of something so important if I myself, if there's any suffix, that I myself don't believe 100% in that thing? Everybody knows that the makos, as painful and as destructive as they were, for the Egyptians, they were healing for Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk in Yeshayah says in Perek Yutes that the makos were nagof rafa, which the Zohar Kadosh, which Chazal understand to mean that it was nagof, it was afflicting, it was striking down at the Mitzrayim, and it was bringing refuah to Klal Yisrael. So we were to ask ourselves, which makos was the biggest makos? Which Makkah brought the biggest Chorban upon the Mitzvah, and I guess by extension brought the biggest Refuah and the biggest Geula to Klal Yisrael? And you find something very strange, very unusual. The Pasuk says, by the seventh Makkah, by the Makkah of Bara, you go to the end of Parshas Va'era, the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now I'm going to bring Kol Magifosai. Now I'm going to bring the ultimate Makkah. The ultimate makkah on the mitzvah. Kol magefosai. The makkah that's kol, that's all encompassing. What was that makkah? That was the makkah of Bara. And you look at Rashi there, there's a whole discussion. Rashi says it's makkah's bechoros, and everyone asks, why does Rashi say it's makkah's bechoros? We're going after the seventh plague. Why is Hashem talking about the tenth plague? We're going after the seventh plague. Some say maybe it just said mem beis, and people, Rashi really meant makkah's bara, and the editors, they're publishing, when they're printing various falashim over the generations, they change it to makas. They thought mem beis stood for makas b'choros, or they said for makas barad, or maybe it was makas b'kuros, which is the makkah of the early ripening fruits. Right? The pashup shot is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said by makas barad that I'm bringing kol magefosai, that I'm bringing my ultimate destruction upon the mitzvah. Which means if that's the ultimate nagof, that means it's also the ultimate rafa, which is also, like the Nabi Yeshayah said, this is the ultimate healing for Klal Yisrael. So what was the Makkah of Barad? Just to say very pashut. The Makkah of Barad, everybody knows, was fire on the outside. I'm sorry, fire on the inside and ice on the outside. Which Rashi says was a miracle inside of a miracle, that fire and water should be able to come together to bring about the ultimate Makkah. Somehow this was the most destructive thing. This was kol magefosai, the ultimate negative. And therefore contained within that message of the fire and the ice is also the ultimate refuah. I think very, very poshut that in that moment that Mitzrayim was being destroyed like never before, somehow there was something in there that was the ultimate destruction, there was also the ultimate refuah. The ultimate refuah being the possibility of something that's entirely frozen on the outside and mamish burning on fire on the inside. You can have a Jew sometimes, we are that Jew sometimes, where we feel that the galus has gotten the better of us, that we've frozen over, that there's never going to be a spring, there's never going to be a Chodesh Aviv, there's never going to be that joyous time again, that the winter's never going to pass. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being meramis to Klal Yisrael, that the ultimate destruction, a fire and ice coming together to destroy, also has the ability to heal. And that somehow contained within the coldness of our Avodas Hashem, and the coldness of Galus, and the coldness of the difficulties of our life, contained within that magefa, which is kol, which is all-encompassing, there's a different type of kol. There's a kol of refuah. There's an all-encompassing part of ourselves, a fire that burns inside of ourselves, so that no ice, that no water in the world, that mayim rabim lo yuchlu l'chavos es ha'ava, there's a certain ava that's felt during these days, during the geula. That's impossible. There's nothing in the world. There's no water in the world that can extinguish it. Noam HaMelech writes in Parshas Devarim, he says that every time we say B'Shem Yichud, B'Shem Kol Yisrael, we're tapping into a world, there's a heavenly sphere called Kol Yisrael. That just like there's a kol magefosai, there's a kol of complete destruction, there's a kol that can never be destroyed. Chaflam, there's a kol, there's an all-encompassing something that can never be destroyed. A Jew comes to the Seder, and you're sitting there, we're drinking four cups of wine, and kol amar v'lesapar reizim meshubach. All the Sfarim talk about a Gullus HaDibur, the Dibur was in Gullus. So Svasemis asks, we know that when it comes to the Dibur, there's five parts of speech. So why is it that there are only four cups of wine? Svasemis says, because the Dibur was in Gullus, but the Kol, talking Kol with a Kuf, the Kol, the inner voice, was never in Gullus. And that's why Klal Yisrael, even when they were in their most broken state, they were able to somehow cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, words they didn't have. But an inner call, they tapped into that inner part, that inner fire that could never be extinguished. And they were somehow able to awaken it. And therefore Svasana says that fifth part of speech was never enslaved. And therefore we don't really need a fifth cup for the fifth part of speech. But we do have a fifth cup. We have a fifth cup which is Keneged Eliyahu HaNavi. Because there's a fifth part of ourself that's always in a redeemed state. Again, to say just very quickly, the Svarim talk about the five dimensions of the soul. There's nefesh, there's ruach, there's neshama, there's chaya, there's yechida. Four parts of the soul can be damaged, can be impacted. But there's a fifth part of the soul that can't be touched. It's called yechida. It's the inner essence of a Jew. It's the fire that burns even within the ice. That even when there's a kol magefa, when every type of trouble in the world comes upon us in the galus, there's a kol with a chaf and a kol with a kuf. That's able to emerge. Hakol Kol Yaakov, the voice of Yaakov, that's always going to be the call of Yaakov. Hakol Kol Yaakov, it's always going to be the call of Yaakov. Historians struggle to make sense. One fifth of the Jews left Mitzrayim, that means there were so many more Jews. People with a historical bent who want to understand these things in a historical way, they grapple with it, they try to make sense. How could it be one fifth? That means there were so many millions of Jews in Mitzrayim, it can't be, it's historically inaccurate. I don't want to get into that. It's not my inyan b'chlal. But the idea when Rashi tells us that one out of five Jews made out of Mitzrayim, I think you could suggest that means that four parts of the Jewish soul were destroyed in Mitzrayim. There were four parts of the Jew that didn't make it out of Mitzrayim, but every Jew made it out of Mitzrayim. One fifth of Klal Yisrael made out of Mitzrayim means the yechida, the pitul yid, so to speak. That fifth cup of wine, can I get the fifth lashon of geula, the vehevesi, which the Sfarim say is Gematria Mashiach ben David, that fifth dimension of the Jew that's it's always Geulidic, it's always on fire, can never be extinguished. That's always burning. Hakol Kol Yaakov, the part inside that's untouchable. When a person takes the matzah, the only mitzvah that we put into the depths of ourself, tefillin you don't put inside of yourself, the shofar you're blowing from inside out, the lulav you're shaking in your hand, the matzah is the mitzvah that we put inside of ourselves. Hakol Kol Yaakov, the matzah, the medicine, the mechla de mehamnusa, the food of faith, the mechla de asavasa, the food of healing that enters our body and reawakens that inner kol. That Hakol Kol Yaakov can emerge once again. That's how you look in Chumash, the way that the word Hakol, the voice, the ultimate inner voice of a Jew, it's spelled chaser, it's spelled without the vav. It's spelled hey kuf lam, which is gematria matzah. Because when a Jew puts matzah inside of his body, he awakens that inner fire for Kodesh Baruch and returns to Kodesh Baruch. A person who doesn't say Emes Ve'emuna Valelos hasn't fulfilled his obligation. A Jew comes to the Seder, V'igada to Levincha. The whole avoda of the night, V'igada to Levincha, to be able to establish V'igada to, like a gid, like a sinew that connects the various parts of the body. That a parent and a child should be connected. That the Mesorah, that the transmission of Amunah from one generation to the next generation should be able to flow so naturally. That V'igadata, so go, like Revolvi was told by Rav Chatzko, go, if you believe, so go tell. Go tell your children you believe. V'igadata, tell your children exactly what you believe. V'igadata, what should you say? Levincha. The gematria of the word Levincha is exactly gematria Amunah, 102. Because when a Jew comes to the Seder, that's the avodah. He got it to Levincha. Just say, Ani ma'amar b'muna shleim. And therefore, on the Shabbos HaGadol, on the big Shabbos, the Shabbos that brings together Shabbos and Pesach, Amunah and more Amunah, we end the beautiful words of the Nabi Malachi, We daven v'heishiv leiv avos al banim, that there should be a very natural, that the heart, that the warm part of the Jew, the heart, the yechida, the fifth lashon of geula that can never be held back, should be able to establish that link between parents and children. That there should be a natural connection between the leiv avos and the banim. A person who doesn't say emes ve'amuna, a person whose emes and his amuna are not the same thing. That the things that are emes to him is not amuna, and the things that are amuna to him are not emes. Lo yatzi yadei chovasa. He can't achieve amunas chavaleos. He's not able to be in a state of geula, in the darkness of the night of the galus. The gematria of leiv avos is emes. The gematria of banim is amuna. That a person should be able to say be'emes to their children, ani ma'amin be'emunah shleima, that I believe in their ribono shel'olam, and I want you, as a natural continuation of everything that I believe in, to continue to carry on that message. I'll just be mesayim. There's a ma'aseh that the Baal HaTanya, one year was reading Chumash. And he got to Shemos Perek Lamed Ches, where it talks about the 5,775 Vavim Lamudim, the hooks that were a part of the Mishkan. And the Baal HaTanya said to one of the Hasidim who was there, within these 5,775 hooks is the secret of the Geula. And the Chassid couldn't control himself. The Rebbe didn't want him to talk about it, but he couldn't control himself. And he went at him and said, the Baal HaTanya was Megala. The Baal HaTanya said that in the 5,775 books, this pasuk, Shemos Perek Lamed Ches, has the secret of the redemption. And he started to spread the word. And it was against the Baal HaTanya's wishes that he would say such a thing. Rahman al-Aslan, that chassid tragically lost his life within that year. But many of the Sfarim understood that what the Baal HaTanya was saying is that in the year 5775, in Tav Shin Ayin Hei, there's a potential for Geula. No, we're holding by Tav Shin Ayin Tav, making a chanas for the Yom Tov of Geula. I saw the Skolya Rebbe. The Skolya Rebbe says that perhaps the secret, Skolya Rebbe wrote this before Tav Shin Ayin Hei, he said that perhaps the secret of this Tav Shin Ayin Hei, and he was still longing for the Geula in his time, maybe that's the secret when we get to the end of the Haggadah and we say Tisha Mi Yodeya, Tisha, Tav Shin Ayin Hei, Tisha Mi Yodeya, Tisha Ani Yodeya, Tisha Yarche Leida. So I want to suggest that maybe what the Baal HaTanya, Halavai Halavai, maybe what the Baal HaTanya was saying was that for Tav Shin Ayin Hei, for 5,775 years, that's the Yarche Leida. That's the pregnancy. That's when the child is being nurtured within the womb. But maybe this year Tav Shin Ayin Vav is when the child's born. Maybe that's when Mashiach actually becomes a reality. Maybe we can be yotze yedei chovaso to bring together emes and emuna, ve'eshev leiv avos al banim, v'yigad tel levincha v'gmatri emuna, to be able to tell our children the emes and tell ourselves the emes, that ani ma'am emuna shleima. The Shabbos HaGadol is called Shabbos HaGadol, Chazal say, because Nasa Bo Nes. Says Rav Aaron Karliner, say, for Tzad HaKadosh Lebracha, Nasa Bo Nes is both a Lashon Avar and a Lashon Hove. That Nasa Bo Nes, but this Shabbos, Amir Tzashem, Nasa Bo Nes, a miracle took place. So Amir Tzashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. That all the years of longing, and all the years of hoping, and all the years of trying to solidify, and to be able to say it, Be'emes, to make it a reality. Halavai, halavai. We should be able to say it to ourselves, to be able to say it to our children. The grandparents should say it, the parents and parents to children. That there should be a natural hamshacha from parents to children. And Amir Tzashem, this year we'll come to the Leil HaSeder, the Leil Shimurim, on Bizoch Tzid Gulash.
Amen. Yani ma'amin, ani ma'amin, oydei emuna shleima, oydei emuna shleima.
He said, come to the other side. The 6 turned into a 9, plus 3, 26, that was a few weeks before that Shabbos in Wadiya. And during Shabbos, And he said, "Rooster, that my son." And wrote the following nigga. And it's, this nigga is like the most simple. It's very, very, very simple. Who needs complications right now, right? Definitely not me. So I'm going to sing the first part maybe once or twice. Just give me your attention just for a second. My sheb sheef leinu Zaba So please, everybody sing with me now. Keep the notes long. Keep the notes as long as you can. Beautiful. Yeah.
Clean up my neshama so I can give my kids an Emes v'Emuna and be inspired by, I would say, Rabbi Eitan and Rabbi Moshe Tzvi, but I think even more, Rosh Hashanah, by all of the young men and women of all ages that came. So that's really my pre-Pesach cleaning, which we know is the Iker of Pesach, not the program in the hotel. Which is nice also. Either if you want to invite me, I'm here. I'm looking for a place to go. Very interesting. We always talk about Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf is like, you know, we think about the sea splitting and the Jews going through and all the songs. However, there's a preamble to Kriyas Yamsuf, which I would tell you what it is, but I don't know what the word preamble means. What happens before? I'm assuming what happens before. I'm not sure if I can say that. Before Kriyas Yamsuf, it says, by Yosser, Sulfur, Markivosuf, by Nagel, the Chredus. Rashi describes here, it's in the Old Mognanian. Rashi says that there is searing heat on the chariots, and there are these hysterical horses, and the horses are losing their bearings, they're going crazy. Look in the Lashon of Rashi. Makas Eish, Nisrifu Agalgalim, there's fire, but the wheels are burning. Hamarkavos Nigroros, all of the chariots are being schlepped along. Vayoshvim Behem Noim. Ve'varem sparkim, and the people sitting in the chariots are moving around. They're shaking. It's going. It's crazy. And Rashi in the previous Rashi says vayom. What's vayom? Lashem huma. There's a tremendous tumult. Rashi also says there's an amad eish. There's an anan. There's teeth. There's fire. There's this whole. You would need loads and loads of special effects to really illustrate what happened in Mitzrayim. But it wasn't just as we imagine it, that they ran into the sea split for the Jews, and then the Mitzrayim came in, and then they all drowned. Jews were like slapping each other with high fives, and they did as Yashir. It wasn't like that. Before Kriyas Yamsuf, there was a very critical moment where they completely lost their bearings. Their horses were bugging out, they were bugging out, the wheels were on fire. What do we need this for? Hashem doesn't do a nice stam. But this had to happen. It wasn't just that we needed the mitzvah to go down. The mitzvah to go down. We could sing. They sang ourselves Yashir. Rabbi Eitan, he would have on the spot. He would have thought of a new niggun. If you grew up in the 70s, you would have started singing na 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 na. Hey, goodbye. And then all the mitzvah would go down. And it would mamish be nisei nisen. But that's the ikur. The ikur isn't what happens before with the wheels and with the fire and with the chariots. And there was a tumult and the horses were going crazy. The people were going crazy. I heard from Mori Barabi Shlita, a Yisod Gadol for a Pesach and for every second of your life. So you have it all here for, you don't even have to pay, it's for free. They say suggested donation, the emphasis is not suggested. But this is a Yisod Gadol for life. The way I look at the world between friends is that I know people, I've spoken a little bit to people in my life, and I see that it's very hard to catch people in the moment. Everybody is either in the future, what I have to do, where I have to go, what my plans are, or they're in the past. They're thinking, they're regretting, I should've, I could've, or even positive, what I did, what I accomplished. They're reviewing, they're thinking what was, and they're thinking what will be. We all know the experience. You're davening Shmoneh Esrei, your eyes are closed, you're shuffling back and forth, and you are so at breakfast. But everybody is looking at you and they're thinking, wow, such kavana. We know. Leiv Yodei Amaras Nafsho. I daven a very long Shmoneh Esrei. And they don't know like how much I accomplished during that Shmoneh Esrei. What I'm going to say to my wife, I have to call my mother, where I have to go, where I have to go. I'm going to organize what I'm going to say. I'm planning out future shiurim. I'm reviewing previous shiurim. There's a lot to think about. We're not living here. We're not living in this second. Even if you thought we were singing, I was trying to get into Rebbe Eitan something. No. Where I have to go, what I have to do. I'm planning here, planning there. What about this second? And Betzim, what do we have in life? All we have is this day. That's all we have. The future's not here, and the past is gone. What are we doing this second? If you have this second, you have the biggest gift a Jewish person can have. You know what that gift is? Menucha. You have menucha. You have nothing to worry about. Hagoyin Atzadik, one of my rabbeim, my living rabbeim and not living rabbeim, many of my living rabbeim are in this room right now. One of my not living rabbeim is Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Charlap. He says in his Sefer, Yom Kippur, Memorum, I saw this last Yom Kippur 2 years ago. I was flying, I didn't have to eat for 3 days. I felt like I was the Amshad of a Rebbe. He says that if you think about it, you never really, at that second, have problems. Almost all of our problems are worried about what's going to be. Everything is always, what's going to happen if? What about this thing? How are you this second? This second. Are you okay this second? I'm fine. So then what's bothering you? What's bothering me is I'm worried about what I did and I'm worried about what I'm going to do. That's the problem. But this second, for this second, I can be 100% completely happy if I just allow myself. That's the gift of Menucha. Rav Moshe Tzvi Shlita, Mori Barabi, Yidid Nafshi, talked about Nago for a foe. Whatever was a makat to the Mitzrim is a refuah for the Jewish people. This is a refuah l'daros. Hashem wanted to heal the Jewish people. He wanted to say, my sweet friends, I know you have a lot of emails, we're in business, most people here are young, you're not in yet, but once you get in, people have their iPhones, their smartphones, not one free second, not a second. I know somebody told me her son quit his job. I think he made tens of millions before, but when he finally decided to quit, it was because he was making Havdalah one hand with the Havdalah candle, and on the other hand with his iPhone. Because Shabbos is over, and now I have to get back to work. And there's always calls coming in and people to speak to and places to go. No menuchas nefesh. Hashem says, I love you. I love you. You know what I want to give you? I want to give you the best gift. I just want you to relax. Mori Barabi Shlita wants to start a chayyur yeshivas. He wants to call it one word. Take it easy. Yeshivas, take it easy. Just relax. Relax. Now go for a fall. The Egyptians had to have a big tumult so that Am Yisrael, the Dorei Doros, we can just learn to relax. Relax means to enjoy this second. Hashem gave you this second. My brother just told me in Erev Shabbos that a good friend of his, an acquaintance of mine, was in the train station, just waiting to a train for work. All of a sudden he collapsed and that was it. What was he thinking about the previous second? That in the next second he's going to be in the Olam Shabbat Hotel? No. He was living his life like everybody else. Where he has to go, what he has to do. But we have. We're lucky. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this second. V'nachal lo yudim ma'yeh b'rega ba. V'nachal lo yudim ma'yeh b'shana ba. V'nachal lo yudim ma'yeh machar. V'nachal lo yudim shum dabo. We know one thing. We know that we have this second, and we have to make the most of this second. We make the most of the second by enjoying the second, by appreciating the second, by being similar to the second, by focusing on what I have this second. I have kidneys, I have lungs, I have eyes, I have ears, I have a mother, I have a father, I have friends. And even if you're doing things, you should just not do anything all day. But even when you're doing things, be at that second. When you're talking to your friend, talk to your friend. Don't answer your phone. Don't think about your phone. Listen to your friend. Spend a few minutes. Don't worry about it. Nothing's going to happen. If sometimes I go to email addresses, I start typing in an email, and then I get an email, you know, it comes up, they give you all these ages. Who you want? This guy. Sometimes like dead people come up. I was thinking, oh man, like my father-in-law, H. Romberg gets something.com or whatever. I'm thinking, wow, I'm going to send my father-in-law an email to find out. Like, what's going on with you up there? Like, how are things? This time, nobody's going to answer. Don't worry about it. If you don't answer your email for a few minutes, nothing is going to happen. He hasn't answered his email in 10 years, and everything's just fine. It's just fine. So to relax. I tell everybody, it's before Pesach, to enjoy. And I want to take it one step further, quote the Sabbath Mikelem. Sabbath Mikelem says, what's the Tachlis HaBriya? Tachlis HaBriya. We say it every Friday night in davening. What's the Tachlis HaBriya? Can anybody tell me? Oh, Chavrus Rishmutz, Yer Rishyans, and anybody have the people from my old Chavrus? Shabbos. Shabbos is Tachlis Ma'aseh Bereishis. Everybody knows that. We say it in davening, right? The purpose of all creation is to get to Shabbos. My Shabbat. Well, how do we best describe Shabbos? Shabbos is Menucha. Shabbos is Menucha. Menucha always goes with Kedusha. Because when you have Menucha, you have Kedusha. It says here, Sfasem is the quote that I'm not going to. The Sfasem basically says that when you have Menucha, Menucha brings you Ruach HaKodesh, Menucha brings you Nevuah. When you have singing, but the purpose of all creation, this world is Shabbos, and the purpose of the whole Olam Hazeh is Yom Shekulo Shabbos. And Shabbos is Menucha, which means that the reason that Rabbanu Shalom created this world is that people should relax. And the moment we're not relaxed, the moment we're we have anxiety, and we have, in Hebrew they call it charadot. I would say to be a charedi is okay. Charadot is you should try to stay away from. The reason people are, they're so anxious and they're so nervous, I'm always looking at these statistics, like literally hundreds of millions of people worldwide are on some type of anxiety medication, depression, and all these problems. It's just because they're not relaxed. Sometimes it's chemical, but a lot of it we bring upon ourselves, and a lot of it society brings upon us, and we don't have to be that way. We can decide that we're going to be benachas. We're going to be Noach. It says Noach was Shabbos. Why? Because Shabbos is a day of Menucha. And that's what Hashem wants from us. Every day we wake up in the morning, we daven, we sit in the Hayom Rishon l'Shabbos, Hayom Sheni l'Shabbos. What's that about? So all week long should be infused with Shabbos. We add Shabbos, as Hashem says, we add at the end Shabbos, we add the Shabbos before. So that all week long, the previous week should be Shabbos, the next week should be Shabbos. What does that mean? Does that mean all week long we should do Malacha? No. It's okay, you're allowed to do Malacha during the week. You have to do Shabbos Yamim Tavo. But it means that all week long, that spirit of Shabbos, that spirit of being b'menucha, of being at rest, of not being nervous, of being able to be there for other people, being able to listen to other people, being able to talk to other people, not worrying about the future, and not regretting too much the past, and getting down on yourself what you did. What you did, you did. Don't worry about it. For now, we have Yom Kippur. We have banging on your chest. You're like what was that in that movie they had? Not that I saw, my friends told me. There was a guy before you jump in Tarzan or whatever. Tarzan's really, I'm dating myself, in the 70s. Isn't it weird to date yourself? What do you talk about in the day? So you're talking about this guy, he's banging on your chest. Every day, Baruch Hashem, we have plenty of times for Al Chet Shechatanu for this, and Al Chet Shechatanu for that, and we have a lot of time for guilt, and that's not our job in this world. Our job is to accept ourselves, and to accept our matzv, and to be happy for all that we have, and to constantly be the simcha, to take advantage of our lives. And if we can do that, then we've reached the tachlis of creation. And we all have that within us, and we just can't let all of society isn't letting us do that. Because I have a final. I have a final, how can I be relaxed? What happens if I fail the final? I'll tell you guys a secret. I never took finals, I never even went to college. Look at how happy I am. Nothing's gonna happen. You have a seder, don't worry about it. And what happens if? What happens if? All is. It'll be fine, I promise you. And I know plenty of people who did very well on finals. I have a friend, Baruch Hashem, he was a top student, a brilliant boy. He's basically been out of work for 20 years. He can't find a job, he can't find a parnasa, nothing is going for him. It really was low amount level over. We've done something, studying for your finals, do well in your finals, not saying nothing. But at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, and he knows what's going to be, and you worrying about it isn't going to make it better, it's only going to make it worse. And I just want to give everybody a bracha. I need to sochachem. First of all, again, I want to thank you with a lot of love and from the bottom of my heart for coming and making this night so special. And I want to give us all a bracha that we should be zochah to the bracha of Shabbos, the bracha of Menucha. And very, very soon, Amir Tashem, when, like Moshe spoke about, when Mashiach comes, I was imagining what it's going to be like. I imagine Rabbi Eitan, you a lady? No, you're a Kohen. Why Hashem made Rabbi Eitan a Kohen? Kasha, I don't know. But the Rabbi Eitan is going to be doing, you can give him your chumas and maizers anyway. Maybe he'll teach the Levim to sing, he'll teach his cousins to sing. But it's going to be the music, the beautiful music in the Beis HaMikdash. And even though B'nai Yeshua and his mom is beautiful, when you go upstairs, you see pictures of Yerushalayim Yer HaKadosh, that we're going to be feeling at ease, we're going to be feeling calm, we're going to be feeling connected, and we're going to be feeling like we feel tonight, I hope, we're going to be feeling the Shekhinah, the Menucha Gemura. Thank you.
Amen.
Everybody, Baruch, Baruch, Baruch.
I love you. Beautiful.